Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast. And I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
Wednesday's Champions League preview. Welcome to Que Golazo Pod. We have Jimmy Conrad, Jonathan Johnson breaking down Manchester United against Leipzig, Dortmund against Zenit, Lazio with some issues. We'll let you know about that. Sevilla, Rennes, and of course, Juventus against Barcelona. Stay right here because we also have a chat with Demba Ba from Istanbul Besiktas as they face PSG. So make sure that you stay right here because here we go. Hey everybody, Que Golazo Pod. It's our Champions League Wednesday preview. Later on, we'll have a little bit of Demba Ba, my interview with Demba Ba, as Istanbul Besiktas face PSG. But we got Jonathan Johnson and Jimmy Conrad. Fellas, good to have you. Let's get straight to it. Barcelona face Juventus. Juventus got a draw against Verona. Barcelona lost in El Clasico. Jimmy, let's start with those betting and wagering tips.
This is a tough one because both teams are decimated in their own ways, let's say, or have some strife that's going on. Juve have won only two out of their last six, and one of those was a forfeit for Napoli. So it's really hard to know. Cristiano Ronaldo tested positive again for COVID. I don't know what's happening. Coutinho's out. Pique got that stupid red card against Ferencvaros. So they're a little bit all over the place, and I think Barcelona is going to have to rely on some of their younger players to help save the day. Just a matter of who comes in. Is it Pedri? Is it going to be Dembele? You know, is Dest going to start now that Sergio Roberto is back? So a lot of issues there. But Messi to score anytime, plus 110. I mean, do you ever get value like that with Messi? I don't know. That's unbelievable. If he scores with his left foot, plus 138, I like that one a lot. Ansu Fati to score anytime, plus 180. Morata, if you're feeling Juve is going to get in there, he's anytime, plus 180. I really like the draw and the under. I hate saying the under, but draw and the under at 2.5 goals, that's plus 340. I'm just trying to find good value for you guys on William Hill. I do think that there's going to be a lot of defense. I mean, that's the Catenaccio way, the Juve way, but because they have some injuries in the back, I think they're going to try to stack it up with a block of four and then four, so a block of eight to try to slow down Messi and keep things predictable. I could see a 1-1 here, so plus 340 I think is pretty good action.
Yeah, that's great. JJ, as Jimmy mentioned, you know, the Ronaldo news, we're still, as we tape, we're waiting, you know, Pirlo has basically said in his press conference, listen, we're waiting for the latest test. And if he shows negative, who knows, right? And whether he starts, well, it is Cristiano Ronaldo. So I guess the rules don't really apply to him as they would to a general player. But there are other things here, especially from Barcelona's perspective. I mean, I'm feeling, JJ, that Griezmann has to start in this one. Pedri back to the bench and Griezmann. What do you make of this game, Barcelona, Juventus, et cetera, as we look ahead to this matchup?
Yeah, obviously, I'm very curious to see how it unfolds. I think this is a really important match for both of them, not just because of the fact, you know, it's one of the most prestigious games in this group, but the fact that both teams are coming into it off the back of pretty disappointing form when you consider the talent they're able to put out there. You know, and I think Juve will really be praying that they can, you know, put Cristiano Ronaldo out on the pitch. I mean, okay, if they can't do it here, then certainly by the weekend, because without him, you know, they really, really are struggling at this moment in time. Barca, obviously, coming off the back of that disappointing result in El Clasico, bit of pressure already on Koeman. You know, neither side can afford to lose. And if they do go down in one of these two teams, then, you know, it'll have to be quite a tight affair in order for the pressure to not be ramped up on both of these coaches. I mean, I think Pirlo is in a bit of a different situation to Koeman in the fact that, you know, this is his first big job as a tactician. So there's less expectation on him. But with, you know, with Koeman, you know, you mentioned Griezmann, you know, with the obvious exception of Lionel Messi, Barcelona still have a lot of talent in that squad, and they're not tapping into it right now. So yes, I do feel that Griezmann, you know, absolutely has to start in this one. And it's this kind of match that it feels like this kind of match where, you know, Griezmann could really step up to the plate and help Barca get a good result. But I was saying the same ahead of El Clasico, and we know how that one turned out.
Yeah, we're doing great so far with our predictions right now. Jimmy, the other point as well is that no Gerard Piqué in their squad. So, you know, Koeman is only taking two center backs at Araujo and Lenglet. That's it. So if anything major happens to them, you know, maybe specifically during the course of the game, that could be an issue. How do you see Barcelona's defensive situation as they fit? Because Ronaldo or not, they still got Alvaro Morata, Dybala, like other players that can cause some damage.
Yeah, I think that's obviously a point of concern for Barcelona going into this. It's going to be interesting to see who he starts out wide. I think Jordi Alba looked pretty good in El Clasico, and whether it's going to be Dest or Sergi Roberto. You can't put Sergi Roberto in middle of midfield if you feel like he needs a little bit more energy there. Busquets did look a little bit old and tired in El Clasico, but this is a big opportunity for Araujo, as you mentioned, for him to step up and I don't know, just say, hey, listen, if PK's out, I can still be a guy you can count on. I still don't know where Umtiti is. I'm sure JJ can maybe fill us in. I think he's disappeared. I don't know where he went. Obviously, they need to get as many people healthy as possible to make that happen. But to the Griezmann point, you know, this is a good opportunity for him to step up. I wouldn't be too surprised if he was in the false nine, Messi was underneath. But yeah, there's a lot of issues there. And I think that's interrupting their flow. But yeah, it's a point of concern. But again, I think that Juve is going to come out and be very cautious in this one. For whatever reason, Pirlo has put out a lot of cautious lineups, maybe overthinking it in some ways, which isn't a big surprise for a young manager. And I just think this one's going to be tight, and it might just be one moment of magic from Messi that could decide it.
All right, let's put you on the spot. Our predictions have been so great, he says sarcastically. JJ, what do you see in this game? Who wins it? Is it a draw? What do we make of it?
I'm going to call a draw. I'm erring on the side of caution. I'm going to say 1-1. But in answer to Jimmy mentioning Umtiti, it's quite interesting that he brings him up, because I was reading some quotes from Umtiti over the last couple of days where he talks about how he's converted to being a vegan. Dropped a couple of kilos, feels a lot healthier, feels like he has more energy, he's able to train better. You know, obviously we know what Umtiti can do when he's fit and healthy. You know, he's a very, very good, solid, reliable defender. The problem for him since joining Barcelona is he's been largely struggling with injuries, struggling with fitness. It's one of the reasons why Barcelona wanted to move him on in the summer when they were looking to trim their bloated wage bill. So, you know, Umtiti seems to have some light at the end of the tunnel. It's just not going to come soon enough to help Barca, you know, in the immediate situation. But the other question I would ask as well with Piqué is, you know, if it actually makes that much difference. Piqué for me is somebody who's been so complacent now for quite a while, doesn't really live up to the form that he set in previous years. You know, I think it could actually be a blessing in disguise for Barcelona being without him. You know, we talked before the weekend about the importance of Ramos coming back for Real Madrid going into El Clasico. I actually think that it could be a blessing for Barca being without Piqué in this match.
And he himself admitted it after the demolition that Bayern Munich gave him. He said it. Listen, if I have to go, if people have to go, then we go. We feel that that maybe be part of the narrative. Jimmy, are you sticking with the draw here?
Yeah, I'm going to go with JJ. I think 1-1 is the way to go.
I'm going to go with a Juventus win because, you know, let's make it different. All right. All right. Some more matches here as Manchester United, after that thrilling, exciting 0-0 draw against Chelsea, now host RB Leipzig. Tyler Adams and RB Leipzig. This is a good one, Jimmy. Give me some props and betting tips for this one.
I think there's some good action here if you guys believe in RB Leipzig like I do going into this one. Manchester United have yet to win at Old Trafford this season. They lost to Crystal Palace 3-1. They got smashed by Spurs 6-1. And then they tightened things up a little bit and drew 0-0 with Chelsea this past weekend. Leipzig, on the other hand, are unbeaten this season. They're on top of the Bundesliga. And I just feel like Julian Nagelsmann is just a better manager than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. With all due respect to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I think he's done the best that he can given his skill set, let's say. But there's something about Julian Nagelsmann, one of the youngest managers in all of Europe, and what little the magic that he sprinkles on his teams. I think he's done well. No Timo Werner, no problem. They're going to figure it out. Yusuf Poulsen has done very good up top in the number 9 spot. I like him to score anytime at plus 200. It just depends on where you guys feel on this. Leipzig to win is plus 215, which I think is tremendous value. And if you think they're just going to draw, that Manchester United can scrape something out, it's going to be plus 235 for the draw. I also like this one. I did a deep dive on William Hill, and Rashford over one shot on target, plus 130. That is, for me, like a slam dunk. In the Chelsea game, where it was very tight, he got two shots on target. And then in another game that was even tighter than that, he had three shots. I mean, against PSG, he had three shots on target. So there's something about him getting opportunities. So for him to get over one shot for plus 130, I think I'm printing money for you guys. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's a great value, that one with Rashford, especially, you know, with Martial, like, you know, injury ridden and other players struggling to find the target. JJ, listen, like, to Jamie's point, and I've said it too, like, Nagelsmann to me is one of the best managers out there, especially in Europe. And the problem that Lampard couldn't fix this past weekend was, even though there was possession, which is creativity in the final third, Nagelsmann with RB Leipzig's, like, suffocating press, just ultra fast passing, they could break the deadlock here. And I'll give you one quote from Angelino talking about United. He's like, what I've seen from Manchester United so far, sometimes they're world class, sometimes they're average. We don't have to hide. And I feel that that's what Leipzig's going to go out and just be like, we don't care that you're United Old Trafford, we're going to go at it. What do you make of this game?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think the Leipzig have anything to fear going up against United. Obviously, United picked up an unexpected win on the road against PSG in the opening round of matches, but Leipzig can be happy with the way that they've handled themselves so far. I agree with both of you. I'm a big fan of Nagelsmann. I think he's, you know, one of, if not the brightest young managerial prospect coming up in European football right now. And the thing that I like the most about him, certainly in this matchup with Solskjaer, is the fact that he has tactical versatility on his side. It seems to take Solskjaer a couple of matches to strike upon a good formula, and then he sticks with it for a couple of games. And sometimes that catches United out. The way he was talking after the win over PSG suggests that he's going to try to set United up in a similar way moving forward in the group stages. And I think that works in Leipzig's favour, because I think that they can change their system multiple times during the match. You look at some of the quality that they've got in the squad. I mean, OK, Jimmy mentioned the departure of Timo Werner, but you see somebody like Dani Olmo now coming into his own, and, you know, he has a phenomenal ability to influence these matches for somebody who's only really recently joined up the squad. And I think that this Leipzig side is very, very interesting to see how they handle this second Champions League campaign off the back of last season's semi-final performance. It was, I'm not going to say too much too soon. I think it was logical that they fell at that hurdle. For them to even get that far last season was very, very impressive, and it would have given them experience that they didn't expect to have. And I think that, you know, Angelino is right in those quotes. There's no reason for Leipzig to fear teams like United now. You know, they are brave, they're bold, they're young, they're vibrant, and, you know, this Leipzig side is ready to attack anyone, and I expect to see them go out and really take the match to United.
Exactly, JJ. Thank you for backing up what I said. I think my bets are fantastic. I got to go, guys. CBS Sports HQ is looking for me to hop on the old TV thing and, again, regal them with my genius. So I always appreciate you guys.
Always a busy man, always a legend here. Jimmy, thank you so much. And we will see you next time, Jim. Take care, bud.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Welcome back, everybody. It's just me and JJ, but fear not, plenty more matches to talk about. JJ, let's focus now on the French teams. Let's talk about PSG as they face Istanbul Beşiktaş. We got Dembaba talking about them a little bit in this episode, but, you know, what's the latest on PSG? Who's out? Who's in? How is Thomas Tuchel's team looking for this one?
Well, PSG coming into this one off the back of an easy victory over Dijon at the weekend. I don't think anyone expected Dijon to put up much resistance there and really threaten Tuchel's job. Obviously, Tuchel still under a lot of pressure because of the poor results this at the start of this season, notably that home loss against United in the opening round of the Champions League group stage. No Verratti for PSG. He's still out. No Icardi. He's also missing. Drexler picked up an injury against Dijon. He's going to be out for a while. So PSG do have some absentees, and I'm focusing on that midfield mainly because that at the moment, PSG seem to have no creativity coming from the middle of the park, and that's a massive problem for them trying to provide the ammunition for the likes of Neymar and the likes of Mbappe. Okay, Mbappe came off the bench, bagged himself two goals at the end of the game against Dijon. Moise Kean as well got a couple of goals in the first half. But it's one thing creating opportunities against a side like Dijon, completely devoid of confidence, you know, without a win to their name all season. And it's another doing it in the Champions League under pressure, away in a hostile environment like Istanbul, Başakşehir, especially with the political situation between France and Turkey having risen a couple of notches in terms of the tension over the last couple of days. So, you know, there is a lot to consider for PSG coming into this one. I think it's, you know, it will be a big breath of fresh air for Tuchel to have the likes of Angel Di Maria back and in contention, because he can provide that creativity that's often been missing, despite the fact that Tuchel rarely places him in the midfield. I think one interesting storyline to watch out for in terms of the starting 11 and the way PSG line up for this one is the little debate going on as to whether Marquinhos will play defensive midfield with Pereira dropping back into defence, or whether Pereira will stay in midfield and Marquinhos will play in defence. We know how well Marquinhos can play as a deep-lying playmaker, and Pereira is more of a midfield enforcer than a creative hub. So that for me is something that I think will definitely create a bit of a talking point ahead of the game. And I expect to see Marquinhos lining up in midfield, because for me, Tuchel trusts him more than Pereira at this moment in time.
Yeah, in the history of the game, honestly, I don't think there's a better example of a center back who can also naturally just easily just play as a defensive mid, and Marquinhos fits that. Let's go to Rennes. Interesting things here from Rennes as they travel to Sevilla. Sevilla, who tied with Chelsea in the first game. What's the latest on them? And of course, their star, Eduardo Camavinga.
Yeah, the situation regarding Camavinga is interesting. The official squad hasn't been announced at the time of taping, but Rennes are expected to leave Camavinga out. No reasons given for the moment. We'll see if something surfaces sort of in and around that match. But Rennes to go to Seville, even with Camavinga, I think they're going to be facing an uphill task. Without him, I think that task is going to get even more difficult. You know, and I think without all of the flair that he brings, you know, we'll see Rennes really go and try to hold out for a draw, remain unbeaten after their opening result against Krasnodar. You know, but I don't think that they will have targeted the 3 points on the road here, especially when you consider how motivated Sevilla are likely to be coming into this one off the back of an opening draw against Chelsea. You know, I think that they will want to make up for lost time, and they will be looking at Rennes, you know, their lack of experience at this level, and targeting the 3 points for sure. So I think this one's going to be a tough ask for Rennes. Obviously, Camavinga's absence will make that harder, but if they were to be able to come back from Spain with a point, this will turn into quite a positive start to the Champions League group stage for Rennes.
Absolutely. A point at Sevilla would be incredible. Some other games for Wednesday, Krasnodar hosts Chelsea. You know, it could be a tricky one, but we feel that maybe Chelsea has enough to, you know, at least get a point, but you would expect with that squad to get a victory. Ferencvaros plays Dynamo Kiev. Club Brugge hosts Lazio. That's an interesting one, JJ. A few pieces of information in that one.
Yeah, absolutely. So Lazio will be going into this one without a host of regular starters. The likes of Ciro Immobile won't be there. The coach Inzaghi admitted pre-match that his squad are in crisis at this moment in time. However, I think those claims of crisis or that feeling of crisis is probably tempered by the fact that they were able to get such a positive result in the opening round against Dortmund. Few people, notably us when we were talking about the game in the preview, expected them to do well there. So for them to pick up the 3 points early on, I think that they will feel more relaxed coming into this one, despite the fact that they're depleted. You know, Brugge, with all due respect to them, and they also got a good opening result, I think that Lazio will feel that they can at least hold on for the draw there. And, you know, to come away from the first couple of matches with 4 points would be a very positive thing when you bear in mind how poor Lazio's form has been overall since football restarted a couple of months ago. I think if they can ride this one out, you know, not concede any silly goals early on, I think they'll probably be fine despite all of those absentees. But obviously, a big blow for them after the fantastic opening win over Dortmund.
Yeah, it's a big blow, but I feel that Simone Inzaghi is doing something that he used to do as a player. He's trying to just like calm everything down and be pretty conservative. You know, aside from the Dortmund win, they beat Bologna in the weekend. And yes, of course, not having Immobile and other players is a big deal, but this is still a team that could probably get a point here. And if they did, as you mentioned, it's a really, really good start for the Italian side. And then finally, we have Dortmund playing Zenit St. Petersburg. And that's pretty much it. Is there anything else here from these matchups? Anything that we have missed, JJ, that you're looking at Wednesday and saying, you know what? Pay attention to this fixture. Pay attention to this player. Pay attention to this team. We can even go back to the games that we have mentioned.
I'm curious to see how Dortmund bounce back from that disappointment against Zenit. I mean, I had Zenit pegged as a potential dark horse in this group at the beginning of it. I was surprised by their performance against Brugge. Obviously, there was some luck involved in some of the goals in that match, but Sergei Semak seems to find himself under pressure at this moment in time. I'm curious to see how that one plays out, because it's a team that I expected to walk the group against a team that I expected to take people by surprise, and both in a vulnerable position after losing their opening matches. So that one is definitely one I'm going to be keeping an eye on. And then, you know, obviously for me, I'll be keeping a close eye on what's happening with the French sides as well, as we've already discussed.
Absolutely. And you would imagine that Gio Reyna should have to start this Borussia. This is a game that Dortmund, I think, that can't afford to lose. That's for sure. Well, that's it for our Champions League recap. Stay right here, because we're coming back with a chat with Demba Ba, a player that JJ also knows well. But JJ, always good to have you, my friend. And I'm sure we'll see you very soon. And make sure that you read his piece with Kingsley Coman, Bayern Munich's Kingsley Coman, on CBS Sports. JJ, always a pleasure, my friend.
Thanks, my man. Pleasure is all mine, and see you soon.
Hey, everybody. As promised, I sat down with Istanbul Beşiktaş's Demba Ba, a striker with a tremendous resume. Played in China, England, of course, with Chelsea, Newcastle, and West Ham. Three stints in Turkey, and the latest one with Istanbul as they get ready to face PSG. I talk to Demba on many issues, including his near decision on going to MLS. So stay right here, because here we go. Demba, this is the club's debut in the group stages. And as mentioned, it's quite a group. When you look at it, how do you feel about it when you see Man United, PSG, and Leipzig?
You know, I think it's probably the hardest group, as we call it, the group of death. You know, because the three of the teams that we have are at least semi-final of European competition. You know, semi-finalist, and facing them would be a tough task for us.
I mean, you know how to upset PSG, right? The 87th minute goal for Chelsea back in 2014 sent Chelsea to the semifinals. Would you say that that was one of your most special moments in the Champions League, do you think?
That was probably in the Champions League. I haven't played that much campaign, two or three of them, I think. And you know, obviously being from Paris, growing up in France, it's one of the greatest moments, especially, you know, where I'm from. Being able to play Champions League is already an achievement in itself. That alone, bringing Chelsea in semi-final, you know, it was a great moment in my football career.
Let's finish with this, Demba. You've played in so many places. Obviously, you talk fondly of you know, where you're from, and also, you know, Senegal as well. Do you see yourself going back to France and ending your career in France, do you think?
No.
That was quick.
Yeah, because I know what I want, you know, and going back to France and finishing my career is not part of the plan. Will it happen? I don't know. You know, nobody knows what the future holds us. But as for now, right now, as we talk, is not really part of the plan.
MLS, maybe?
It was at a certain point. But when I see how the country is going right now,
difficult times right now.
It's very difficult time for America, for the whole world. But when you see what is happening in America and all these things that is happening with the Black Lives Matter and stuff, do I want to go there? And because obviously when you go there, you bring your whole family. And do I want to go there and educate my kids in a country that is living a big crisis right now on equality of race? I don't really know.
It's a good question to ask. Finally, Istanbul Başakşehir, Turkish champions, Champions League. How far can you go?
We can definitely win the league if we work the right way and we commit and we do what it takes, because it takes a lot to be able to win the league. And in Champions League, you know, it's the first campaign of the club. So as an advice, what I would give to my teammates is just go and enjoy those minimum of 6 nights that we'll have to leave on the field, because those nights are like no others.
Istanbul Beşiktaş makes its debut in the Champions League group stages. Dem Baba, thank you so much for joining us and good luck.
Thank you very much.
I want to thank Demba Ba, Jonathan Johnson, and Jimmy Conrad. Make sure that you follow us on Kego Lasso Pod on Twitter. And if you're listening to this on cbssports.com, you can also please make sure that you follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. Another place where you can listen to the podcast. Not just the website, guys. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. We will see you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.